This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. Game 6 coming on tonight. Who you got? Let me know. A lot of debates, a lot of things going on. A lot of people want the Celtics to win, I'm hearing. Everybody's tired of the Warriors winning. I feel you on that, and you want to see maybe a blossoming of a new dynasty, right? Can't really call it a dynasty yet until they start winning. But, you know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they have something special going on there with the leadership of Ime Udoka, killing it. But let me tell you right now, if they don't limit the turnovers, if they don't decide who's going to be the leader, shut down Steph, if they don't realize that Wiggins, that dude, and most importantly of all, not let this moment get too big for them. They've done it, right? They've done it. They haven't done, obviously, it, meaning the NBA Finals, but they got through Durant and Kyrie. Say what you want, but that was no easy task. In four games, sweep. Boom. They got rid of the reigning NBA champs and Giannis. I know, people are going to say no Middleton. But still, that was seven games. The Miami Heat, yeah, they were wounded. Seven games. Here's my point. Those two seven-game series is taking a toll. And don't get me wrong, that's not making excuses because everybody's going to be like, oh, don't make excuses for them. They're young. Jason's like, what, he just turned 24. Jaylen's like 25. I'm not making excuses. People kind of forget about reality. Yes, they are elite, great players. There's only been, like, what, 5,000 NBA players ever. You know, there's only 453 who get to do this at that high of a level, which is why we watch them, we marvel at them, and we see their greatness. But at the same time, they're human, and they get tired. And I'm telling you, that last game that I saw, from my vantage point, it was obvious that Jason Tatum was tired. What do you shoot with, folks? Your legs. And at the end of games, you start to see it, right? Jason Tatum had a couple of air balls. That's uncharacteristic. He also is fouling, not moving his feet, right? The way he grabbed up Gary Payton II. Those little things, like if you're not really paying attention, they may just look like nothing to you. But if you're paying attention and you see the flow of the game and you see them playing 45 minutes, they're tired. Ime Udoka is definitely going to have to switch up that rotation. It's pretty tight at this point at like 7, maybe 8. Guys got to step up. They need Derek White to be who he's meant to be, coming off the bench, giving them shooting. He has the ultimate green light to shoot when he goes in. Because you know when he goes in, that's what he's there to do. Yeah, he's there to play some defense on Steph as well, but come on. You know why he's there. Al Horford. Everybody was calling him the MVP of the series game one. You're going to need that Al Horford type effort tonight. If you want the Boston Celtics to win, Al Horford should be your biggest fan right now. Because that's exactly who they're going to need. Because when he has games like that, Boston doesn't lose. And it doesn't even matter what kind of game Tatum has. But obviously, I'm sure if you're a Boston fan or anybody else and they see how great Tatum is, I'm not going to knock him too much because of this one series. I know everybody's ready to, you know, everybody brings him up saying, oh, superstar, and then ready to knock him down. Nah. What he did this entire season, especially in this postseason, has been nothing short of great. In the finals, yeah, for whatever reason, he hasn't been great. He's been good, but he has not been great. Because once you've been anointed, you know, great, right? And you see a very bright future of you being top five, then yeah, people are gonna, they're gonna have expectations of you, rightfully so. But Jason Tatum, this needs to be his game. If Jason Tatum decides that this is gonna be his game, that he decides to come alive in these finals, then yeah, it's gonna be a game seven. And I don't want people to get me wrong either. Like, just because the way I broke down this series and the way I saw it before the series started. I said it was going to go 6 games. Warriors were going to take it. It does not mean that I don't want it to go to a game 7. It certainly does not mean that I don't want Boston to win. If you know me, you know I do not have a horse in this race. If you've been listening to me, you should know that. But what I do respect is greatness. I do. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it, because everybody seems to have this bias against the Golden State Warriors, especially Steph Curry. And we'll get into a little bit of that in a moment. But I just think it's funny, because a lot of people don't realize that they have all these bias for whatever reasons. And it's just not necessary. You can say Boston's going to win, and you can tell me because of X, Y, and Z, and that's cool. We'll debate it, and you feel how you feel, and I feel how I feel, and we'll watch, and we'll see how it plays out. You know, but to sit there and say, like, I don't want the Warriors to win because they've been done it, and I want to see Boston and Tatum for whatever reason. Okay, listen, Boston has a great shot. I never said they didn't have a shot. It's not really about Boston in that sense. It's just more so understanding what the Warriors are, what their offense is predicated on, and what their defense is predicated on. See, people got it twisted, right? Steph can have an off night and they'll win. And I'm not just saying that because of game 5. I'm saying that because history has shown us that. Because everybody just wants to pay attention to the box score at the end of the day. But you have to see the game. You have to understand it. You have to understand that Steph, I think J.J. Redick said it best. If you listen to his podcast, if you don't, you should check it out. It's on all platforms. And I say that because he describes Steph as a star. Like, the way everything just revolves around him, and he just has like this gravitational pull, in a sense that things work because of him, right? It doesn't, like, Steph does not need necessarily to have a crazy game, right? Like he did in game 4. It would definitely solidify their win if he did, but he doesn't necessarily need to do that, because the thing is, he's done it so much and from different angles of the court that guys are scared that he's going to do it. So the attention on him is serious. He needs so much attention that it gives rise for others to have a good game, i.e. Andrew Wiggins. And I don't mean just like just by his re- because Andrew Wiggins obviously is a great player. We've already seen how good he can be. But now we see how great he can be when he's in the right system, right? When he's in the right culture. And which is why I think that Christian Wood situation is going to work out with him. Dallas, but that's another conversation. But just to key in on understanding spacing, you don't understand how important that is. And if you don't, I'm going to break it down to you very easily. You're ever watching a game, and it's a half-court game, right? Teams are trying to get into their sets. You just see them all bunched up on one side. Now, when does that usually work, right? Maybe if it's an ISO and then you have a great player on the other side, right? You have everybody standing on the other side of the court and you have a great talent just cooking, right? Just giving it because they have the mismatch that they want and that's what they're going with. Cool. To make or miss league, right? They're either going to make it based on percentages. But when you have guys like that bunched up on one side of the court, how easy is that to defend? Super easy. I don't have to go nowhere. You right there. Where am I running to? I'm not tired. I'm good. But when you see the Golden State Warriors and how spread out they are and how you have to literally guard Steph all 94 feet, and everybody's just spread out to the wings, so everybody can be a threat from three. I know, maybe not Draymond, but even then, you know, like, because then what if he does go off this game? Then everybody's going to be like, well, we knew he could shoot, because once, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's, like, game to game with their reactions. Like, point is, that's what makes Steph so dangerous. Because Steph doesn't have to get all the way in the paint. He doesn't need to be in the mid-range around the elbow or around the free throw line. Nope, he can go by the three-point line. Up, oh, nope, he can go a little bit further than that, 30, 35 feet and beyond. That's what makes it so hard. And then to make matters worse, he is constantly running around, moving without the ball. And guys are fighting over screens, getting hit in their ribs, getting knocked down. Yeah, they may get the call here and there, but after a while, when you get in towards the fourth quarter, your body is aching. You are already tired. You are already gassed. Your legs are starting to feel it. It's not a game. And then when people sit there and wonder, well, how is it that, why are they forcing, like, especially when Boston, you know, you'll see it late in the game, they make these costly turnovers. You know, when you're tired, you're going to make mistakes. And that's what makes the Golden State Warriors so dangerous, too, because they have the type of defense where they help the helper. You feel me? Like, nobody's really responsible for their guy. They're responsible at the point of attack. They're responsible to be on the ball. But once the guy blow past them, it's okay. They don't have to sit there and run around chasing the same. No, because the help is supposed to come. And then, depending on who it is, another helper is going to come. Just watch them. Watch them in their sets when the ball moves. They're constantly moving offense and on defense. That's what makes them difficult. And I feel like knowing that Boston is still a young team, they're still trying to figure things out. They're still trying to figure out things from a leadership standpoint. I know Ime Udoka has handed Marcus Smart pretty much the keys to this franchise, pretty much saying, like, yo, it's your team. Run your team. Like, he wants him to be the point guard, right? Because that, you know, there was a lot of whether Kyrie was going to be the point guard back then or whether it was Kemba Walker or whether they were going to have Isaiah Thomas, if you remember. Nah, he said, Marcus Smart, here you go. Now, some people have a problem with that because maybe he's not a pure point guard. But my thing is, they literally just figured this whole thing out this season. And you can't even say the whole season because it's been a process, right, the whole time. Chemistry-wise, understanding that, okay, we're not going to split them up. This is what we're going to do. And that's great. But when you're playing against an experienced team and you still are looking as though you're learning on the fly, that's difficult. And don't get it twisted, because that doesn't mean to say that they can't get it done. Because they are young, they are strong, they are talented, they're versatile guards. Like, they have everybody that can guard all positions. And that is a difficult find. These guys are hungry. They want to win. They have a young coach. But at the same time, that it's just difficult. The degree of difficulty. Like, if Boston were to come out and win tonight and win game 7, I don't want to hear nothing. Everybody's better give Boston all the props in the world. They better not talk about Tatum's shooting percentage. They better talk about how he impacted winning with his 13 assists in game 1 and on, and how he still kept playing. He still kept, right, shoulder problem. Like, he still kept playing through it. Jaylen Brown, you know, which would probably be the MVP if they did win. That's just difficult. The degree of difficulty is just much harder than I would say for the Warriors. Yes, the Warriors are at a disadvantage because they're smaller, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't win. I think they've already shown you guys that. But this is going to be it's going to be intense tonight, guys. It's going to be so intense. It's going to be so crazy. You know how Boston fans are. They have no chill. They already have a little, you know, chant for Draymond Green going on, and I don't need to say it here. If you know, you know. But it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a hostile environment. I think the Warriors do feed off that. I think they understand it. I think they respect it. at the same time. Like, if they didn't respect it before, I think they respect it now. They understand that this is not going to be something that's going to be easy. This is going to be a desperation game. I think they should be playing this game like it's a game 7 for them in order for them to win. That's how hard it's going to be playing in Boston. But with that being said, it's going to be so good, guys. I really hope you're able to watch this in peace. But if you can't, as long as you're watching it, as long as you're tuning in and you're paying attention and you're seeing greatness. I'm telling you, like, on both ends, you're seeing a chess match between coaches, between what Steve Kerr is able to do, how he just puts guys in timely. Like, even when he put Vialita in, he's like, all right, how much can I get out of you? Just to give one of his guys rest. I don't even think he's really doing, I mean, if he can give us an impact, cool, but don't hurt us. Like, I think he's just trying to put guys in just so he can rest other guys. And as long as you kind of balance out, like, okay, you didn't hurt us, but if you grab a rebound and get a point or two, cool. Just don't hurt us, because I'm trying to give our guys breaks. Because Steve Kerr, as you know, he's been all over with the lineup. And it's true. There's a reason why for that. It's mainly because everybody hasn't been 100% healthy for one reason or another. So he always had to keep juggling the lineup. He always had to keep, figuring out the chemistry. And the same thing goes for Boston, too, with Robert Williams III. You know, they've had their fair share as well. But I mean, like, Golden State's kind of been all over the place with Draymond is back, Klay coming back from the 2 years, and then Steph getting hurt with the ankle, and he kind of rolled it again over there. What was that, in game 3? So it's like he had to keep juggling around to see who was going to be the best fit, not to mention Gary Payton II, the way he went out in game 2 of the Memphis series. Like, all that stuff, you have to take all that into account. Chemistry does matter. And on the court, within the locker room, but on the court, that matters. Knowing where guys are supposed to be to limit those turnovers. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you can tell when the Celtics are not on the same page, even when they're tired, it's like, if you're tired and you guys are not on the same page, you just start to see the turnovers just rack up as the game goes along. That's why I said that's going to be paramount to seeing when they rest these guys. You have to pick your moments. And that is going to be a chess match. Like, that's going to be on Ime Udoka to figure out, like, when his guys are tired. Because you're young, and it's going to be early enough in the game where they're not tired yet. But he has to figure out when he could take them out without, shaking their confidence too much. Because, guys have to get taken out. Like Tatum, he got taken out earlier than he probably felt that he needed to. And who knows if that was to rest him, or he just didn't like what he saw, or, there's just different things. Or when Draymond got pulled out, late in the fourth, and there was like a lot of things going on with that. And that's a chess match. Like, Steve Kerr understands, like, you're tired. You're not really giving us what we need at the moment. Like, I'm not getting the best out of you right now. So let me give you, like, 2-3 minutes, and then I'm going to put you back in because you're my guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't ever want one of your players, especially your star players, to not understand that, yo, you're still my guy. I just need you to rest, because you don't see what I see. You know what I mean? Like, you're just moving 100 miles an hour. You're tired. Okay, you don't see what I see. Like, I see that you're tired and you're making mistakes that are uncharacteristic and it's hurting us. So we need to sit you. We need to take a break. Chill. I'm going to put you right back in. Don't even sweat it. You know, and that's why I like Steve Kerr, because he is such a leader. Like, he's able to manage the personalities. Even though Golden State is not necessarily like a huge ego type of team, I think Draymond's got that for everybody covered pretty much. But being able to manage that type of personality in a game, you know what I mean, in a game that you need, so you can take control of the series, like, that was huge. And understanding, like, listen, you're my guy, but chill, Same thing also in game 5 where Draymond fouled out, right? But it was that Draymond clearly fouled him. I don't even understand why he wanted him to roll the tape. It was just one of those moments where I guess he felt like, I need Steve Kerr to trust me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just to kind of test him to see if he would listen to me. Like, I'm about to get to, because he was about to foul out of the game. So it's almost like, okay, I need to see if Steve Kerr is my guy this late in the game, understanding this is all he got, and he's risking one of my timeouts. And Steve Kerr was like, you know what? You've earned it. If you want me to roll the tapes and you're about to get fouled out and it means that much to you, let's see what's up. Obviously, he was wrong, because if you watching the same game I was watching, he clearly fouled him. But again, that's a testament to Steve Kerr, because he understand in that moment, you know what, he needed me to do that. It wasn't like necessarily a right or wrong thing. It was like he needed me to do that. Like, that's, this is us trying to build something here, you know, like, I don't know. I kind of just got what he was doing in that moment. And, you know, people can disagree or agree, but that's just their relationship. And obviously relationships matter. Like, you got to be able to trust your guys out there and understand, like, you know, he is valuable. So if they can maybe get away with one, maybe he thought he was going to get away with fouling him, and he rolled the tapes and they'd be like, nah, I didn't foul him. But clearly he did. But but that's why it's such a great series, because you're seeing a whole lot of things that you're not used to. Like, Draymond has been playing great, but you even hear him on his podcast actually saying, "But this is tough. Like, this is a tough series. These guys are serious." He even called Marcus Smart the brains of the Celtics. And it's so weird because I'm listening to other stations too, and everybody kind of, I don't know, we're kind of like in a weird place in society where if you compliment one person, you're dissing another. And it's like, no, just complimenting that one, you know. Or we live in a society where if you're giving somebody their props, and rightfully so, you know, all of a sudden, like, you're riding them, or you're idolizing them, like, you're like so infatuated with them, like, you can't go on, like, nah, like, this is bringing me to a conversation I was actually having on Facebook. And shout out to all the Facebook conversations. I love it. I live for this stuff, guys. If you know me, you know. So when I was pretty much just saying, like, Steph, like, he's trending. Like, everybody, some people were just like, I'm just tired of, you know, people putting Steph in, like, that basketball god category, you know, and which I'm assuming he's talking about top 10, right? I wouldn't necessarily put him there yet, but I believe he's trending in the right direction. That's a difficult conversation, because then you have to go into teams. Then you have to go into, okay, yeah, are we basing this more so on championships, or are we just talking about individual talent wise? And then you bounce him back and forth to different eras and how the game was officiated back then opposed to now. Or if you want to take it back even further, and how, you know, when Bill Russell was playing and there was a lot of, you know, essential workers, you know, guys that had day jobs and was playing basketball, you know what I mean? It's versus guys that play basketball full time, more athletic, more, you know, more talented, you know, I mean, it's a whole can of worms that you open up. But here we go, because I'm with it. I want all the smoke. It's all cool. It's all good, man. So we got into this conversation just because I respect Steph's greatness. I respect what he did for not only for basketball, just for the culture in general. You see any kid, and I'm talking about high school, college even, but on down, everybody wants to be like Steph. Everybody's shooting threes. Why? Because Steph Curry does it. And he makes it look cool, right? That's an impact on basketball, period. Now, you want to talk about on the elite level what it does? We already talked about his spacing. We already talked about his floaters, what he's able to do, how you literally have to know where Steph is all the 100% of the time. You hear guys talking about Steph. Mikal Bridges, I was actually listening to him on one of the podcasts. I believe it was J.J. Redick's podcast. And he even talks about you can't blink when Steph Curry is out there. Like, think about that. And he's an elite defender. You can't blink when Steph Curry's out there. 94 feet, you need to know where he is. 50 feet wide, you need to know where Steph Curry is. Don't matter. You need to know. He's just that great. Everything about the Golden State Warriors, everything that they do, it runs through Steph. Now, obviously, if you're talking about on the defensive end, you're talking about Draymond Green. But I understand. So the beef is, right, he's not that two-way player that you would mention him with the greats. Now, I'm one of those who believes there's an exception to every rule. And that's what makes Steph so great, because he is that exception to that specific rule. He doesn't have to be a two-way player. He's, what, average at best defensively? And he packed on like a good 20 pounds of muscle, so he's able to do a little bit more than he was before, especially his days at Davidson when he first got into the league with Monte Ellis and all them boys. Listen, the guy can ball. He can ball so much that he makes us overlook it. Maybe not some people, because some people want to nitpick. But here's the thing too. And I say nitpick not because they're not necessarily right about his defensive presence, I should say. It's mainly because you're nitpicking because it is a team game, right? And with that understanding that it's a team game, the way you have to understand the way the Warriors in particular play defense. They play help defense. What does that mean? That means that they help the helper. You're never really responsible for one person. You're never really playing man. It's like an illusion. Oh yeah, they're playing man. No, they're not. They just need to be there at the point of attack. Once they're there and the guy still blows by them anyway, which they usually do, you have another helper. And then guess what? If he blows it by again, you have another helper. That's just what the Golden State Warriors do. Everything about them is a team. Even their offense, the way they're all running around, cutting to the basket, moving the ball around. Nobody holds the ball for more than like 3 seconds on average. Look at all this stuff up. It's crazy. But this is what they do. When you look at the release of Steph, Clay, and then when you have Andrew Wiggins cut into the basket, not selling for threes. Because Andrew Wiggins was so great. But why was he so great? Yes, he's a good player, but why did he stand out so much? Because there's so much attention on Steph. Even when he's having an off night, there's attention on Steph. And even then, he's still pulled up for a mid-range. He's still winning with the floater. He's still a threat. And if you look at when he made those baskets, those were timely hoops. Those were baskets they needed to stay in that game. Andrew Wiggins pretty much sealed the deal, not only with his defensive effort, because you see what he's doing on Tatum. But it's the rebounding that's been crazy that sticks out most of all. Obviously, the points, too. The points are, you know what I mean, that's a given. But even when Gary Payton II comes in, when you have his defensive effort and you see the couple of rebounds that he grabs, those are timely boards. Like, they're a complete team. So it's almost like, yes, I mean, could you argue that the Warriors are allowing Steph to be great because of that system? 100%. But then that's when you can say, okay, even when you look at other guys in the league, maybe why they may not look as great as they are, why are they being critiqued as much as, you know, so much more than maybe another player? That's because of the system. It's because of the culture. Because that matters. People don't realize how much culture and system and being drafted into that right system, all that stuff matters. Like, everybody gets so caught up. Don't get me wrong. I watch the draft like everybody else, but everybody gets so caught up on, like, the top 10. When really the top 10, how many of the top 10 really pan out to be one of the guys we're really talking about in the league? You know what I mean? Like, overall, I mean, when it comes to greatness, when it comes to building a dynasty, yeah, you may have like that one or two guys, but for the most part, there's a lot of dogs late in round one. You feel me? Like, so it's like you have to watch the entire draft, understanding these guys. More importantly, understanding the needs for your team. Once you have that culture, right, you have the coach in place, you have the GM that also works with the coach, right? You just don't want someone doing shopping without the cook being right there, kind of having their influence. You know, you want to have that culture, that collaboration. I think that's what makes the Warriors so special and what they're able to do. Everybody just wants to think of the big market teams. I like development. I like it when you see organizations that take the time out to draft well, not necessarily looking at who's going to go number one overall, who's the best fit for your team. Now, don't get me wrong, you're going to definitely have like that once in a generation play, but that's not going to be every draft. So, I mean, we try to make it out to be, you know, to make it more interesting, but at the end of the day, you're not going to have that once, you know, in a generation type player. But don't get me wrong, if you do get that, if you do have that player, then yeah, you better get him. What do you want me to say? Yeah. But you're not going to have that. So, you know what I mean, in every draft. So what you should be looking at is who's on your team now, how can we win, and what can we do? Who can we move around? Well, great. I'm glad you said that. Because also trades matter too, right? Christian Wood. Look what we have here. Been around the league, 20-10 guy. Can score the ball, like heck. You know, can rebound as well. But at the end of the day, not really impacting winning, right? But we can definitely say that he's been on some pretty bad teams, right? Okay. Now, he's being traded to Dallas. You saw what Dallas was able to do. I mean, a lot of that was on the Suns and whatever beef DeAndre Ayton had with the organization and Chris Paul turning 36. And I don't know what Devin Booker's problem was, but that's just what it was. But the Dallas Mavericks definitely have something special. I hope they keep Brunson. I know everybody keeps talking about, you know, New York, and you're like, wait, you're a Knicks fan. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, yes, I am a Knicks fan, but I'm also a rational basketball fan. I believe in staying put if you have something special. J. Kidd being the coach, special basketball player, special coach. Smart, special, special coach. You have Luka Doncic, who's arguably could be one of those players that can get you a championship. Obviously, he just needs the right pieces around him. But man, were they close? I'm not putting out not there for the future, but I would love to see Dallas and Memphis in a series. That would be nice, but. But let's get back to Christian Wood. Now that he's going to be on Dallas, it's going to be crazy, guys. That's going to be crazy. I know a lot of people are not ready to lose their minds yet. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm on the edge. Because I see him being like what Wiggins was to Golden State right now. Understanding what he can do. Now, don't get me wrong, Christian Wood, scoring machine, definitely not known for his defense, so I don't want to necessarily disrespect Andrew Wiggins, you know what I'm saying, because Andrew Wiggins is a beast on the defensive end and what he's been able to do for the Warriors. But I'm just saying I know Christian Wood is capable of it, and if he does just that, then we're going to be seeing this in a series, and that is going to be beautiful basketball. I can't wait. I love it. Definitely sucks Boban is gone. Who doesn't love that guy, man? You know, in the commercials, reaching up for everything, you know. And then that recent video with him blocking all the kids, like, the dude's hilarious. He's a marketing machine at that. I'm sure Mark Cuban and you know, were sad to see him go. But, man, that dude, he's just awesome. He's just one of those guys you definitely want in your locker room. Cheering everybody up and just, you know, just being a really good teammate, being a really good guy. I appreciate that. But yeah, Christian Wood, man, 20-10. And especially if he can give you that same effort on defense, because we know Luka's like, right? It can't just be, now, don't get me wrong, if Christian Wood doesn't buy in necessarily into that defense and doesn't perform as well on the defensive end, and then you got Luka kind of doing the same thing, then yeah, it's I can see how that also can go left too, because you don't know a guy's heart, right? You just don't know until you're in it, right? And then it's a long 82 games. That's a long season. You're gonna start to expose and start to figure out a lot of people, and then when you get to the post game, postseason, it gets even worse, right? Because the lights are the brightest. It's a series. After, like, the second or third game, guys already know what you're going to do. They already know, you know, schematically where you're going to be at. So it's going to take something a little bit more to dig deep. But like I said, it's all about how bad do you want it? How much are you really buying in to J. Kidd and Luka Doncic and everything that they got going on? And I'm hoping he does, because I think it's a great move. I think it's a smart move. Like I said, as long as he buys into the defensive end, sky's the limit. But guys, definitely make sure y'all tune in. Game 6, it's going to be crazy. I'm telling you, it's going to feel like a game 7 because both teams are going to be on edge. But I already know the Celtics are going to be in desperation mode because they can't lose another game. Steph Curry, I believe he's on a mission. He is now a Davidson graduate. He just officially this season became the best shooter of all time. He hasn't yet got that finals MVP. Some people will argue why Iggy got it in 2015, but that's neither here nor there now. I think Steph is on a mission, and that's all I'm going to say when it comes to that. I just hope y'all tune in. I'm going to be on social media like crazy, so let me know who do you think is going to win tonight. If your pick has changed, own up. Let me know. Don't do that. Don't be that flip-flopper. But guys, that's my time. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Boston gonna get that lesson tonight. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Doc, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.